All right, well, let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. God, we pray for your wonderful, renewing, God, transforming presence. God, would you feed your hungry souls, Lord? Help us to delight in your words. And help us to lean forward now, God, to what you have to say through your word. God, that we may receive them, God, and be transformed by your spirit. God, help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, last week, you know, Pastor Robert went through Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 24, I believe. And he talked about the difference between the old self and the new self. And it's monumental. I was just talking to Ellen yesterday. What it is that God actually did, if you think about it, what God actually did. You know, we were born again. We became new kind of human being. If you think about what actually transpired. So we're not regular human beings. We're a new creation. Think about that. God created man, and then God recreated man. So we were already created in the image of God, and then God did something miraculous because we were born again. We were born of the Spirit. And so a lot of times we don't really think about it. And the reason why, you know, when we were just talking, Ellen and I, if you think about what actually happened, and it's so encouraging, yet it's so profound and almost escapes us. So we know, if I say God sent Jesus to suffer and die to save you, you would say yes. And he saved you so that you can go to heaven. And then one day we will be with Christ for all of eternity. And we would say yes, and we would say amen. But God's primary purpose and why we're born again isn't just to save us. That isn't the gospel. The true gospel is that God came to make you his children. Now, that is monumental. That's like the difference between, you know, having somebody live in your house who is not a family member and somebody living in your house who's a family member, no matter how close they are. Now, when you think about the implications of what God actually did, now, when God makes children, if you think about the family of God, you think about the Trinity. And we have to think about Trinity. God is so one. There are three persons who are so one. It's blasphemous to say there's three gods because there is only one God. Now, for God to make children that we could enter into that family, you'd have to understand that the gospel is entirely different than the way we envision heaven. And that's like one day we're just going to be like living really good lives, some better version of earth where we can just always be, you know, happy. And it's not wrong, but it's so different than what God has. That's why when you say, and then not only that, we are children to the King of Kings. The one thing that's different, right, about Prince Harry and Prince William, even Prince Charles, when he was a prince, You know what they had to do? They had to go to the military. They got to. They can't have a bunch of, bunch of men who are going to be king one day, potentially, and not have courage, not have gone through something. If you're going to lead, you got to understand loyalty. You got to learn how to lead. So if you think about what God did and what Robert was sharing, is the creation of an entirely different kind of human being, because we're not like we're going to be one of the heavenly creatures in heaven. No. That's what Revelation is about, isn't it? It's about us reigning with God. Now, because we are a new creation, and because we have gone through this supernatural change, if you're a believer, there's something supernatural that happened to you. There are things that you're capable of doing that other human beings can't even fathom doing. We just think that I sometimes hear, there's no difference between you and I. I'm just forgiven. That's not true. I am forgiven, but I'm an entirely different kind of human being. This is what the scripture says. I have a completely different kind of heart. I am plugged into the body of Christ, and I became this tethered thing to the body. And I not only have an individual identity, I have a corporate identity. Just like God. There is Jesus, and then there's Godhead. There's Henry, and then there's Henry belonging to the body. They're both equally, there's an identity. I'll give you a case. I used to fly helicopters. I was also a maintenance test pilot. So that means when you have new things that get put on an aircraft, or something breaks, I have to take it up and troubleshoot it, And not the safest of occupations, but back then, I was a bit reckless and, I didn't really care that much. But one of the things that I had to do was I had to take the helicopter to its envelope. What that means, I have to take it to its limit. And sometimes I get to take other people along, other pilots, and it feels weird when you take an aircraft to its limit. So we have a 60-degree roll limit. You can go beyond that. It's illegal. We had guys that do rolls and stuff like that. And then they video themselves and then they get caught. And they lose their, wings. But pilots who have been flying for a while haven't really taken the aircraft to its limit. So I take them and say, all right, I want you to now give me a 60-degree, because I have to test the aircraft when it comes out of maintenance, right? I want you to take it to its limits. I want you to roll it. I want you to, take it to a 60-degree roll. And they'll get to like 50, and they're like, because it feels like you're going to fall off this, because you have to have so much power. It's like, and then the nose coming up 30 degrees is all it is. And you feel like you're going to fall over. You have to go against your natural inclinations to take it to its limit. You don't believe that the aircraft is not going to just completely fall backwards. And to be honest, most of them can't do it. Not the first time around, because it feels so odd, they feel like they're going to crash. And that's what scripture is really trying to get us. It's asking us to do things. It's telling us to do things that feel so unnatural. Peter's like, look, I got it going on. I forgive this brother. I took him out to lunch once. I took him out to lunch twice. You want me to take him out to lunch and treat him three times? And Jesus is like, no, 70 times seven. I want you to take him out every day. can do that? The people of God. God will, there are things that we can do. How about if people that stab you in the back? You can forgive them. Who prays for their enemies? Believers. Now, does it feel natural to do that? Absolutely not. It feels awkward, fake, you know? How about sharing deeply about your most shameful past? It's so awkward. That's why, let's read Ephesians 4, 25 through 29. All right? Chapter 4 is about the walk. It's about walking the walk. And the reason I talked about what we talked about, what Robert preached last week, is that therefore, because you're a new creation, you've put off the old, you're put on the new. Because you're a different kind of human being, therefore, because you're different, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we're members of one body, one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, let's go back, because we're looking at now, as we come to the end of chapter 4, it's like bookends, right? Ephesians 4 started out talking about the walk, okay? Now, I have, I'm going to paraphrase, I think I remember, it's a movie quote, I've said this before, it's a fun quote. It says, there are two kinds of people, those who walk the walk and those who talk the talk. Those who walk the walk sometimes talk the talk. But most of the times, they don't talk at all because they're too busy walking. Those who talk the talk, when it comes time for them to walk, they get other people to do their walking for them. Okay? So, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Now, what's the calling? Well, I've underlined the calling, right, in double underlines. And this passage is full of the word one. What? One another in love. One body, one spirit. You were called to what? One hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. It's this whole idea of oneness. Why? Because you now belong to the family of God. You are born again. The invitation is not to go to heaven. The invitation is to become a different kind of human being. Different kind, a supernatural being who's now being integrated into the family of God. To become one with God. And this is almost sacrilegious. If I didn't read it from scripture, right? If you read John 17, make them one just as we are one. It's a Trinitarian language. That's the calling. And it's afforded to us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He purchased that birthright that we have. So the invitation is in heaven. Invitation is into the oneness of God, primarily. And so we walk like Just like when I was flying helicopters. I fly and take it to the limit. Why? Because it came out of maintenance. I'm gonna pretend like it's fixed. Like it's gonna fly right. If I don't take it to the limit, you know, I guess, you know, I don't know. Somebody else might and it might not work. But the point is, it's to prove what Jesus did. It's to prove that you are called. How do you know you're called? How do you know that this aircraft is fixed? Well, you take it to the limits. How do you know that you're a believer? Well, you walk in a manner worthy of the calling. And that's underlined in green, right? The pro walk. And then there's this like negative walk. It says, later in Ephesians, right? It says, now I say, testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk, because walking is always directional, isn't it? We're always walking, right? We might talk like we're walking this way, but we're sometimes walking this way. But no longer walk as the Gentiles do. And here's the word, right? As we're beginning to see, we're looking at truth, the light, because Gentiles, people who are not believers, they're darkened. And here's the, and they are alienated. They're not one. They're separate from one. So it is your birthright to walk as supernatural beings. So let's take a look. The first, okay, so let's take a look at, right? We looked at, okay, because you're a new, right? Because you have a new self, you are a new supernatural being, okay? This is how you're going to walk. This is how you walk the walk, because there's that therefore, right? It references, right, putting off the old self and putting on the new self. So therefore, because you are a new self, first one, put away falsehood. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For, right? Circle that. Double underline, because we're members one of another. Why? Because we're one. Remember? We looked at all the underlining of the one, because we're like inseparable. This is hard. Because it requires supernatural power to do this and capability. Now, when we sometimes read this, when I first read, I'm like, put away falsehood, okay? The pseudos, you know, false reality. But here's the thing, speaking truth with a neighbor, you almost feel like, well, I finally have permission to now say what I really feel. You know what I mean? How about speaking to your neighbor and being truthful about yourself? You know what I'm saying? How about being truthful to God first? How about being truthful with yourself and then being honest with others for yourself? We have, truth be told, the reason why we're not able to talk truthfully to others, because to be honest, we don't want to be hypocrites. You know what I mean? That's the real reason, a lot of times. But everything begins, right, as Michael Jackson says, with the man in the mirror. Right? You can't put away falsehood if you don't talk to God about honest stuff. I'm not going to lie to you. Praying to God, sometimes we skip the, oh, God knows. That's our justification. God knows. Talking to God about all the stuff today. What happened at work? A lot of stuff had happened at work. I got bent out of shape, right? I said things that I'm not proud of, right? Because every day I walk out the door, I need to be forgiven or I need to forgive somebody else. If I'm going to be honest with myself. There's not a moment that goes by, right, where I don't have to forgive somebody or be forgiven by somebody. It's just, but we get to a point where we just feel like, you know, God knows, you know? And we're not honest about it. The reason we talk to God about it, because we want to change. We want to be different. We want to put away falsehood. Because sometimes every day is the same. It's like every day, you know, we want to put it away, don't we? It's the same word, put away, put off. It's the same Greek. Like put off your old self, you have to put away falsehood. So we got to learn to pray honestly. We have to learn to talk and share honestly, starting with ourselves. Hold back. You know, I see all your faults. We have x-ray vision when it comes to faults of other people, don't we? We think we're so insightful. This is the most shameful thing you're ever going to really hear. My first anniversary. I'm not proud, but it's the truth. All right? Took Ellen to a nice restaurant. First anniversary. The restaurant where we met, okay, where we dated, right? It was nice. It was in Korea. You got the lights in the back. You know what I did the first anniversary? I took out my list of all the things that Ellen could fix about herself. Right? What a knucklehead. Now, that's people, people. That's people. You think, right? I was proud. It takes, that's why we pray to God, because it is so easy to be honest about somebody else's sin and so hard to be honest about ours. But because we are one, right? Got to work this out. And then the second set, right? You got this negative, you got this positive, and you got the reason and the basis, right? The basis is the calling, the oneness, right? Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Right? Anger is the soil which Satan will come to reign in your life. Anger is the soil which the enemy will come to reign over your life. That's why it's so urgent when you're angry to get it. So what is the negative is do not sin. God knows we're going to be angry. God gets angry. But you can't sin. And what does that mean? There's a law about, you know, this, right? That's why sin is lawlessness. It says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Why is that a positive? Isn't that a double negative? No, because it presupposes that you're going to be reconciling. You're going to be going and apologizing, right? You're going to be going and forgiving. You got to get to yes on forgiveness. You got to get to yes on misunderstanding, right? Miscommunication. You got to get to yes on apologies all around. And you got to do it quick. You know why? Because you let the sun go down, the enemy will take a foothold. Once the enemy gets a foothold, it's like a splinter in your mind that you cannot pull out. I'm serious. You can't pray. You can come to church. You're probably going to have to call your pastor. You know, something now pretty drastic and urgent. When anger and bitterness begins to pile, it is a serious, serious condition because there's an encampment of the enemy that's taken root. It is a very dangerous thing. It is very, very difficult to care for anybody, even your own children, when you're in this state. That's why it says, give no opportunity to the devil. What does that mean? That means don't let him reign. Don't let him reign over your life. That place, remember, one Lord, one God. Jesus is head of the body. If we're going to become one, he must always reign, not the enemy. Number three, let the thief no longer steal. Back in the day, there were a lot of poor people, a lot of slaves. And you know, to be honest, you know, they even had a hard time making ends meet, putting food on the table. So they stole. But you know what? It says stop. And do honest work with your hands. Do honest work. So circle that. Here's the basis. So you may have something to share with anyone in need. Again, oneness, right? Sharing, having things, right? Together. Now, if you don't share, right? That's what we just had offering, right? We're sharing collectively and paying for the buildings and giving to SBCV and to the missionaries, right? I mean, we share. The whole purpose, not stealing is not a purpose. It's the means to what? The end. The end is to share. Because the purpose is that we're one. And lastly, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Remember what Jesus said? It's not what goes in your mouth, right, that corrupts you. It's what comes out that corrupts you. It says, but only such as is good for building. That's architectural term. It means to build up, right? It means to encourage. I don't know if we think about this, right? But even your own spouse, saying things to build up and to encourage. You know, oh, you know what? We're so blessed. You know, like talking, you know, just gratitude languages. Because sometimes, you know, we're actually in the dumps, you know, and we're clouded and the goodness of God isn't coming through. So we encourage, we peel back the darkness. That it may give grace to those here. Amen. It's like, does this bless you? What's corrupting talk? Grumbling? See, the thing is, grumbling hurts mainly the person that grumbles. Because it's hard to be grateful. It's hard to adore God. Because God, every day, he came and suffered, bled for us, so that he could then give all these opportunities every day. Every day. And we hate it. We don't like it. We grumble. If I was God, I would do it differently. Not only that, remember about, you know, walking the talk. Like, sometimes we just become talkers. We're not walking. We don't believe that we're supernatural beings. We don't believe that there's anything, that there's not that calling. We're just kind of like ready to just go to heaven so we can just get away from this. Jesus, God did not send his son to suffer and die so that we could have a luxury vacation in heaven. I promise you that. If that was his goal, we would have been born in heaven. Absolutely. God is raising up his children to reign with him. That's an honest truth. There's some hard lessons in this life. Good chunk of it is, you know, walking that path of obedience. The other kind of corrupting talk, gossip. You know what I'm saying? Now it's not just you're grumbling to God. You know, you're grumbling about other people. And there's nothing more separating and alienating than that. And God has no, you know, when we do that, we alienate ourselves from God. And so now our prayer lives are affected. that it may give grace to those here. So we want to speak in a manner that builds. We're builders. You know, we're uniters, builders. You know what they do? I love watching some of these like YouTube videos. Oh, it's a new way of building houses. It's like Legos. They make woods like Legos. You know, they like fit and, you know, and it's like, oh, you can do it all by yourself. You just order this house and it's like, you know. Building is uniting. It's putting things together and it's like a glue, you know. Jesus is that glue, isn't he? Yeah, and we're learning to be builders. Okay, here are the four things that I believe God is asking us and calling us. Be honest with ourselves. Pray honestly to God. And speak truthfully to others about yourself first. Be quick to and seek to forgive, apologize, and reconcile. That, to be honest, maybe one of the hardest, and probably what trips us up, right? And causes us, right? Alienation. Work for the glory of God and to be faithful and generous to others. The purpose is to be generous. Purpose is to be faithful to the giving. Commit to encourage, to build up. Start at home. Start at home. It's like, oh, I don't, you know, when's the last time you just deliberately said things to your wife or to your husband? Just to be encouraging. You know, I'll be honest with you. I might get choked up here. I pray for Ellen's encouragement. You know, I was like, God, can you just encourage her? You know, because we need encouragement every day, don't we? I love it, you know. My brother Indrid, you know, texts me encouragements. I love it. Builds me up. That's how you build. We're builders. It's supernatural. It's not, is it natural? No, it's not natural. Who does stuff like that? Who thinks about other people when you're going through your own problems? Who has the space to think about other people and encouraging other people who are so mired in our own problems? Well, we do. That's the good news. And that's the part of the walk. It's like these muscles we haven't used. All right, I'm just going to end with this. All right. I'm walking right now every day, right? I try to walk around 40 minutes, right? But because I have a lot of issues, I can't, you know, I've been like watching all these like ways to walk. I didn't know this. Don't laugh, right? But you gotta like feel it in your butt, right? And you walk and you gotta land not on your heel, but like on like the forefoot maybe. And you gotta, yeah, it's just like so complicated. So, you know, this is how I walk, right? All right, this is how I'm walking. It's working though, don't laugh, all right? It's working, all right? Is it natural? Ellen, you know, I got Ellen to walk with me. She's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sore, you know? Who's sore? Because we're not used to using those muscles. That's what it is, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling is not natural, right? It's the old self. That's how you put off the old self. And that's how you're putting on the new self. It's just, it's unnatural. It's awkward. Hey, you know, by the way, you know what I, you know, you're not like, you know, just like, I think I kind of snapped at you, you know? It's awkward. I mean, this is not to my wife, you know? I might have snapped a little bit, you know? And, you know, sometimes I feel like, well, she would, you know, like maybe she didn't notice. You know, I'm like, all the reasons why I don't have to go and say anything to her. Then I'll go and like say something really awkward. I feel awkward. She was like, you know, that's okay. Like she felt it. You know what I mean? It was like, she felt that. And it was like, oh, maybe I don't need to, you know, just do it. These are muscles that we're not used to. You know, and you might overshoot. It's okay. It's okay. But we're learning. That's the thing. God is an amazing, patient teacher. But the thing is, we don't want to go through this life. Because you know what Psalm says? Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not, right, with the wicked, right? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And then he goes on to say, he's like a tree planted near streams of living water. You know what the promise is? When we learn to walk properly, we're like the tree that is just going to be fed this amazing living water from Jesus. Joy is the promise of that walk. It'll be healing. And I can honestly say, learning to walk like this, like I walk like Mr. Tumnus, right? But it's healing. It is. It is healing. Right? And that is the promise of God. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, Lord, we need your help. God, thank you for this amazing, God, work that you've done in our lives to make us your children. We don't deserve any of this, Lord. But we want to walk, God, not in the ways of the world, but God, we want to delight in your word, God, and walk on the path of obedience. God, we want to move towards people and we want to move towards you. So God, would you come, Lord? God, inscribe your word indelibly in our hearts. God, that we may be like a tree planted near streams of living, flowing waters, God. God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.